Before we get into this week's podcast, I've got some exciting news to share with you. We recently shared how you can get your hands on the Comrades Marathon Pacing Bands. You could order yours up front, pre-order, and then pick them up printed at the Coach Parry stand at the Comrades Marathon Expo in Durban. Since we let you know that, we have got hundreds of emails asking us exactly how to predict what your Comrades Marathon finish time might be. The good news is we've created a calculator that'll tell you exactly how to do that, okay? All you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/time. The link is also in the description of this podcast. You can click on that. It'll take you straight through to the page. Plug in your best marathon time over the last 12 months, and it'll tell you exactly what your predicted Comrades Marathon finish time is for the app run this year, but also for the slightly shortened route as well. So we've done all the calculations for you. All you need to do is plug your marathon time in, and it'll tell you exactly what you can expect to run at the Comrades Marathon. All you need to do, head over to coachparry.com/time, and you can also pre-order your pace band for that exact finish time on that same page. So coachparry.com/time.
If they've run Comrades before, I take out the Comrades app and I show them the pacing from previous Comrades efforts or last year's. Normally we don't have years back, but we've got last year's. And then I can show them and go, well, look, the reality of what you can see on the app here is that if you don't run easy enough at the beginning, you actually end up running a whole lot slower than it is that you say is too slow for you to run. And then, you know, kind of seeing that and then putting those two things together is what really gets the penny to drop. I can't stress that one enough. Like, just to use a quick example with numbers, Bull Run is the easiest one for me to just work out. But if you are going to run a Bull Run, you're looking at a roundabout or very close to 6 minutes a K, just under 6 minutes a K. But if you are capable of a Bull Run, you are running your easy runs on the weekends around about 5:20 to 5:50. So even at the very slow end of those easy training runs for Bull Run, you are going too fast. And so that's the exact point, is that you get so used to running super comfortably at 5:30 a K, but 5:30 a K is miles too fast for Bull Run. And that's why you run into trouble at 50, 60, 70 kilometers.
Welcome on to the next of the Comrades Marathon Up podcast. My name is Brad Nadelt. We've got the official Comrades Marathon coach with us, Lindsay Parry. Lindsay, nice to touch base once again.
Yep. How's it, Brad? Always good chatting to you. And I suppose, more importantly, the people training for Comrades.
Yeah, absolutely. And things are starting to get quite serious now, because we're out of January, out of February, we are into March, which means this is crunch time. It is showtime, as Lindsay likes to say. Things are starting to get real. And the next 14 weeks are the 14 weeks that count. So we're going to be digging into a lot in today's podcast and video. We're going to be talking a little bit about sort of run-walk strategy, what you should be doing, exact paces you should be looking at in your training runs to make sure that you are ready for Comrades race day. We're also going to be talking about what you need to focus on with regards to just making sure you are taking care of what you need to do, not worrying about all the noise around you. And those are some of the things we're going to be talking about. Lindsay, it was a big weekend of running, some big marathons taking place this past weekend. There was the Vaal Marathon that took place. That was my favorite qualifier when I lived up north. It's flattest marathon in the world, which is probably one of the hardest things to run. But I think a lot of sore bodies after this weekend, because it was also crunch time for Two Oceans qualifying this past weekend. So it was Last Chance Saloon. I know Edenvale Marathon happened as well. Where should we be right about now as far as our training goes for Comrades?
Yeah. So it is March. It is where I've been holding people back. But I think what's super important to note is that the 18th of March is 12 weeks to go, okay? So if you qualified earlier in February, January, if you qualified last year, then, you know, 14 weeks to go. We are now in Comrades training. Everything is all systems go and we're building up, okay? So, but now where does that leave everybody who qualified for Oceans this past weekend, who qualified for Comrades this past weekend? Luckily, no panic, because it's 14 weeks and not 12 weeks. So that's the one thing. But it is why I've been stressing over and over again that the later we leave qualifying, the easier or more comfortably we want to qualify, because we don't want to start training for comrades with sore legs and with very, very tired legs. And this is a big problem with a lot of runners, because they think that some discomfort and pain and stiffness is normal. And it might be normal, but it's not good to train like that. So if you've qualified this past weekend and you had pain and or discomfort, because runners struggle to differentiate that, they think that stiffness, stiff muscles, is normal pain. And so when I often ask and they go, no, I'm fine, my legs are good, I'm ready to go, I've just got the normal stiffness. No, okay, that stiffness is damage. We need it to recover. So if you are stiff, if your muscles are sore for two or more days, you need to rest the whole week. And then you build up slowly in the following week. And the 18th of March, you are good to go. If you had very mild discomfort for a day, and then you were able on day two and day three, you had absolutely normal activities of daily living, no pain and discomfort in the muscles, walking up and down stairs, then you can run easy this week, but you don't want to be training hard, okay? So that's kind of your kind of rule of thumb, how you figure out. And just know that the 18th of March is D-Day. I'm going to throw the stats out again. If you've been following our webinars, if you've been to one of the road shows that we've done around the country, then you've heard the stats already, but it's worth repeating because it's just so important. And that is that 68% of the runners who don't finish comrades started with an injury. So we don't want to start our training block with an injury. So if there's pain, stiffness, any kind of soreness associated with your marathons this past weekend, then please just chill. You've got 2 weeks. Get going on the 18th.
Yeah. Lindsay, I love the fact that you said pain is not normal. I think we need to clarify what normal is here when it comes to comrades training. There's nothing normal about running 90 kilometers or 80 odd kilometers. So that's the first thing we need to understand. We are not normal as comrades runners. And the second thing is there's nothing normal in the rest of the world about running a marathon as a training run. So because we're around, particularly South Africans, because a lot of the South African running culture is built around comrades, a lot of these things we see as normal, it's not normal. And as you said, pain is not normal. That's your body saying that there's something wrong and we need to sort it out. And obviously recovery and resting is important. You don't want to rest too long. But as you said, training through that's just putting yourself at risk for more injury and then risking your comrades when it comes to that as well. I'm going to touch on two things. The first one, the second one is about the amount of races that are coming up, which we'll chat about in a moment. But the next one is the type of races that are coming up. So this coming weekend, there's a race we've spoken about it lots here on the podcast and the videos. We've also spoken about it on the Comrades webinars, and that's the Cosmos 3-in-1. For those of you who don't know, if you're listening to this around the world, it's a one-day event where there's a marathon, a half marathon, and a 10K all in one day. And many comrades runners swear by that. They go, this is like, I have to do it, otherwise I'm not going to finish comrades. I've got to get time on the legs. Lindsay, you're not a huge fan of doing this, but there is a caveat to that. Like just before the organizers of the Cosmos 3-in-1 put out a hit on us, as far as race goes, I've heard nothing bad about the race. It is phenomenally well organized. The tables are incredible. The vibe is incredible. But you're not a fan of the race when it comes to training for comrades.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important differentiator there. You've said it perfectly. There's nothing wrong with the Cosmos 3-in-1. It's just a really poor choice of training run for comrades. So if you love the race and you want to do it and it's one of your two big races of the year, comrades being the other, that's fine. Then go and do it. But please make sure that you recover afterwards, number one. And number two, just accept that it's going to compromise your ability to train properly for comrades. And of course, if you want to be part of the event, because it is such a great race, and in particular, because the water points are just so well done, then you don't have to do all three. You can go there and do just the marathon, or you can go just the marathon. You see, Brad, you're right. We are not normal. You can go there and just do the marathon. But you could go there and do the marathon and leave the other two, or you could go there and do the half and the 10, and then it's a 30K training run, 20-mile training run, and that would work quite nicely. In fact, that would be the ideal in terms of where we are now around comrades and what we're training for. So, yeah, it's just so important to understand that it's not helpful in terms of the comrades' journey, but it is a great race on its own.
Yeah, Lindsay, it reminds me a little bit of when my brother's in food services, and when he was a student, the last 6 months of his diploma, he needed to go and do a 6-month practical to get his qualification. And he ended up at Sun City. He worked at the Cabanas as their sort of banqueting manager. And he used to tell the story, and I'm not going to mention which nationalities it was, but he used to talk about the tourists that used to come to Sun City, and then they'd have dinner or lunch at the buffet, and they would literally pile it on. So they would go up to the buffet, and it would be roast, there'll be vegetables, and there would be rice, and there would be potatoes, and they would take chicken and beef and lamb, like literally pile it on, and a bit of gravy on top. And like they would take everything that was on the buffet. And then they would turn around, and then there was the dessert buffet. So they would then get the dessert on the same plate, and they would pile on some mulva pudding, and they'd pile on some milk tart, and then they would take custard and just cover everything with custard. So then they would probably go back home and go, geez, South Africa is a great place to visit, but their food is horrific. And that's the point, is just because you go to a buffet doesn't mean you have to eat everything. You can pick and choose, and Cosmos is a great example of that. You don't have to do all three of those runs. You can do one, or you can do two. Like, you don't have to do all three. So I think that's an important distinction to make. And then that follows on to the second point I want to talk about with the races, and particularly in Gauteng, where you've got races every single weekend. And I'm falling into this trap. My wife is laughing at me, Lindsay, because I know I'm late to the party, but I've only like literally recently started running park runs. I just don't enjoy being around lots of people, and the kids are now getting into it, so I've been going to a park run every weekend. And when it's supposed to be an easy run, as soon as there's someone in front of me, I can't go easy. I have to beat them. And we fall into that trap when we're doing races and training for comrades, particularly if there are races every single weekend, that it's easy to get caught up in the excitement and go, well, flip, I beat that guy last week, I can't let him beat me this week. Falling into that trap in your comrades training too. If you can't do that, you probably best to stay at home.
No, absolutely. And as we go into these last 12 to 14 weeks, that is just such a key message, because comrades, where one of its very unique challenges is the fact that unless you're right at the sharp end of the race, then your race pace is generally slower than your easy training run pace. And that causes a major problem on race day, because it's so difficult to run slow enough at the beginning, because you're just not used to it, and because your normal easy long run pace does feel like you can do it all day. So invariably, by running comfortably easy on a normal day, you're actually going too fast on comrades race day. And so over the next 14 weeks, that's something that's so important for you to practice and to do on your long runs, is to try and mimic comrades' race conditions as far as possible, so that you get used to running easy enough, so that you're taking nutrition in at the same intensity that you will be taking it in on race day, and for you to dial in on your run walk strategy, so that come race day you're also very comfortable and you don't have to think too hard about, you know, where you're going to run, where you're going to walk.
I think you might need to repeat that, Lindsay, because that is such a, I mean, I don't think people, it took me a long time to realize that your race pace from comrades race day is actually a lot slower than what you're running in training. And I see it when people come up and ask you at the expo about the pacing charts, and you tell them what pace they need to start at, and they say to you, there's no ways that I can run that slowly. And what's your response to that?
Just a quick break from the podcast for a second to let you know and remind you that you need to pick up your Comrades Marathon Pace Band for Comrades 2024 right now. coachparry.com/pace. You can also click on the link in the description to this podcast right now. Don't leave anything to chance. Make sure you plan the perfect race come race day. Head over to coachparry.com/pace right now to get your custom Coach Parry pacing band for race day to make sure you run the race that is best suited for where you are and your training right now. That's coachparry.com/pace. You can click on the link in the description right now. And don't forget, you don't want to pick up just one. Don't just take your plan A. Make sure you've got a plan B and plan C as well. That's coachparry.com/pace. Running the Comrades Marathon doesn't have to be scary and intimidating. Just thinking about running 90 kilometers or 56 miles should give you butterflies in your stomach. Add to that the hills you have to run up and down and having to do it in under 12 hours. The thought of it is enough to freak the most seasoned runner out. Never mind a newbie to ultra running or a Comrades Marathon novice. As much as Comrades is a physical challenge, it's just as much a mental challenge. The constant mental gymnastics of second guessing yourself takes its toll. Am I training enough? How long should my long runs be? How many marathons should I run? What does this pain in my knee mean? My ankle is sore. Should I rest or run? And then the two big ones. Am I fast enough? And will I finish? The questions never stop. The constant worrying is exhausting. And that's exactly why we've created the Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. It's a proven step-by-step training plan to get you from where you are today to having a Comrades medal around your neck without the stress and worry, knowing that you've done what it takes to finish the ultimate human race, feeling strong and in control, ensuring that you arrive at the start line fit and most importantly, injury-free, because more than 64% of those who didn't finish the race last year started with an injury. The Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap guides you through every step of your Comrades journey. Training, qualifying, tapering, and race day. We've got you covered every step of the way. Simply head over to coachparry.com/up to get access to it now, or simply click on the link in the description. That's coachparry.com/up. Now back to the podcast.
Yeah, so I normally take out, if they've run Comrades before, I take out the Comrades app and I show them the pacing from previous Comrades efforts or last year's. Normally we don't have years back, but we've got last year's. And then I can show them and go, well, look, the reality of what you can see on the app here is that if you don't run easy enough at the beginning, you actually end up running a whole lot slower than it is that you say is too slow for you to run. And then, you know, kind of seeing that and then putting those two things together is what really gets the penny to drop. I can't stress that one enough. Like, just to use a quick example with numbers, Bull Run is the easiest one for me to just work out. But if you are going to run a bull run, you're looking at around about or very close to 6 minutes a K, just under 6 minutes a K. But if you are capable of a bull run, you are running your easy runs on the weekends around about 5:20 to 5:50. So even at the very slow end of those easy training runs for bull run, you are going too fast. And so that's the exact point, is that you get so used to running super comfortably at 5:30 a K, but 5:30 a K is miles too fast for bull run. And that's why you run into trouble at 50, 60, 70 kilometers.
Yeah, and that's not a great place to find out that you've gone out too fast. So let's talk about strategies, because I mentioned at the start of the video we were going to be talking a little bit about strategies when it comes to run, walking, and that sort of thing. But let's talk about strategies to put in place in training now, because now's the time to make sure that you are prepping not just from a fitness perspective, but actual rehearsal of what you're going to do on race day to make sure that you get it nailed now so that come race day, you know what you're doing. What are some of the strategies you can put in place in training runs, long training runs, to make sure that you are running at the correct pace come Comrades race day?
Yeah, so obviously the walk-run strategy is just about the most important and easiest of those to implement if you have the will. Now, I start with silver, and I just know so many silver runners who think, no, I don't need run-walk strategy. I'm going to run the whole way. And the reality is that almost nobody runs the whole way at Comrades. So you do need to factor in a run-walk strategy regardless of. And there is wiggle room. So I'm going to start on the fast end, and we're going to go down to the slower end. But there's definitely wiggle room, and you've got to find that balance where you are comfortable. But it must, that balance must include regular brisk walking. Okay, so let's give you an example of what that looks like. For silver medal guys, we are talking about a 1 minute walk every plus minus 10 kilometers. Okay, so that's how I like to do it. And then with extra walks on some specific climbs. So those climbs being Fields Hill, Bothas Hill, and Chunga Poly Shorts. So those are the places where outside of your 10-1, I always throw in an extra walk break. And that works really well for the silver guys, and it's worked particularly well for me in the past. Then we move on to the Bull Roan. Sorry, and 1 minute every 10Ks. You can simplify it slightly and go every third water station. So then that's, it's closer to 9Ks, but that's okay. And it coincides with water station, and you'll see that all the rest of the run walks do coincide with water stations, so that we can also take care of our nutrition while we are walking, because then your breathing rate comes down, everything slows down a bit. You've got a minute, you can get in all the nutrition you need to get in, and then you get going. Okay, so if we move on to the Bull Roan guys, I like a 1 minute walk every 6 kilometers. Okay. And that will take you to every second water station. And then the same thing, we do extra walk breaks on those big climbs, being probably I'd start a little bit earlier on the Bull Roan. So I'd do cowies if there isn't a coinciding, if it doesn't coincide with your every 6Ks, I'd do cowies, I'd do Fields Hill, I'd do Bothas Hill, I'd do Chunga. I'd probably even do Umlaas, even though it's not a super steep hill, but it's just before everything really does start to get much easier until Poly Shorts. I do a walk there, and then I would do an extra walk on Poly Shorts. Then when we move to the sub 10, the Robert Macaulay, I would walk 1 minute, and sorry, Bull Roan and Robert Macaulay, 1 minute every 3K. So you're literally walking a short walk at every single water point, and then you're going to do a extra walk anytime there's an uphill. Okay, so there's going to be plenty of walking on your Robert Macaulay and your Bronze. And then we move to the finishers plan. It's the same principle. We're going to walk 1 minute every 3 kilometers. But on the finishers in particular, I've got people that have a wide variety. I've got people who run 5 minutes, walk 1 minute, run 6 minutes, walk 1 minute, do nine, run 9 minutes, walk 1 minute, 15 minutes, 1 minute. So this really is a wide variety of the walk run strategy on the finishes, but anything goes there. It just has to be really consistent, regular walking. And then what I encourage my finishers to do is that as soon as you are going uphill, so as soon as it goes vertical, you're on a gradient, then you switch into a 2 minute run, 1 minute walk, or 1 minute run, 1 minute walk. But you literally just steadily get over the climbs without doing any damage to your quads, so that you can really take advantage of the much easier profile in the second half of the race.
Lindsay, this run walk strategy is quite interesting, because I'm going to ask you a question about when to implement it. But a lot of times, especially when you're running that easily, it feels like you're running super easy, so you don't feel like you need to walk. But walking in itself is quite hard, especially if you're doing lots of it. And Comrades Race Day, you are going to be walking probably more than you would ordinarily. And I remember when I did an Ironman a number of years ago, I went into it with a bit of an injury, and I knew that I wasn't going to run any of the marathon. I was going to walk the entire thing. And I have never been that sore after a marathon than that marathon. And I think it's because I wasn't used to walking, that the sort of biomechanical changes were slightly different. Obviously, stride length changes, the way you impact on the ground changes when you're walking. So you need to practice this now. As much as you're practicing your running, you need to practice your walking as well. So that sort of leads me into the next question. Do we do this from the get-go? Like, do we, as soon as we step out the door, and I'm thinking finishes, if you are on a 5 minute run, 1 minute walk, do you walk within the first 6 minutes?
Yeah, so my kind of rule of thumb is any run that's 75 minutes or longer, we implement it from the get-go. Mostly I only get pushback on that on your kind of silver and Bull Roan guys, because they're like, oh well, if a run is 75 minutes long, then I'm going to get to between 50 and 60 minutes, I've got 15 minutes left on my run. What's the point of doing a walk? And the simple truth of it is that you do it so that you get used to it. So that on race day, you program to do it. There's no thinking about it. That is just what you do. Look, even if you don't practice run walk in training, you're going to get to a point in comrades where you have to run walk. And the longer stretches, let me rephrase that. The longer you take to start walking in comrades, or the more you need to walk when you start walking in comrades, the longer those walks are likely to be. And then you're going to be in the position that you were in, Brad, at Ironman, where you are walking because you have to and need to, rather than walking because it's kind of part of your routine and you're using it to delay the onset of fatigue. You're using it to change the firing frequency of your muscles, and you're using it to reduce the impact forces, although, as you discovered, those impact forces are slightly different. So they are lower, but different. And so we do need to practice it and get this into our routine.
Yeah, you definitely want to be walking before comrades forces you to walk. I think that's probably a good way to sum it up. But Lindsay, I'm going to ask a question for a friend, and that friend is me. You talk about 75 minutes. Do you have to wait until 75 minutes? I mean, I am back of the packer, and my mantra is there's no hill that's never been walked up. So I do enjoy a good walk. There's no shame in that. But do you have to wait? I mean, if you are one of those runners, do you have to feel like you have to make it to 75 minutes before you start walking?
No, but if it's a 75-minute run, you're walking from the beginning. So if you're on a 6-minute run, 1-minute walk, runs that are longer than 75 minutes, then after 6 minutes, you walk. If you're a Bill Rohner, it's after 6Ks. But the reality is that, even if you go for a 30-minute run, if your routine is 6-1 or 9-1, you can do it on every run. There's no – but that's – we're not in the business of stopping people from doing it. Most of the time we are convincing people to do it.
Okay, cool. So that's cleared up. Lindsay, let's talk a little bit about sort of trusting the process. We spoke about it a few weeks ago with regards to this time of the year when comrades runners go crazy. I don't know if there's something in the water or if they, I don't know what happens. There's Mooty doing the rounds, but people go silly March and April with regards to mileage. And you spoke about it a few weeks ago we had the clip on Instagram that's still going mad, but you were saying that if you listen to Lindsay and you fail, at least you've got someone to blame. But if you don't listen to Lindsay, you've got no one to blame but yourself. How do we switch off that noise of everything that's going on? I mean, Cosmos this weekend, there's going to be lots of people. There's going to be peer pressure galore this week of people saying to the newbies, you have to do Cosmos. If you don't do Cosmos, you're not going to finish comrades. How do you tune out that noise as things start ramping up?
Look, it's very difficult because there are people that are in your club that have these very funny ideas about how many kilometers you need to run. And one of the big ones is that people always look at my plans and go, oh, the people at the club say I'm definitely not running enough and that I have to run 1,000 Ks between now and comrades. And I'm like, well, not between now, but this has been going on since the beginning of the year, but between January and comrades. I'm like, yeah, but have you done the maths? 50K a week from January till comrades will get you 1,000 kilometers. So 1,000 Ks is possibly not a bad number, but how you get to the 1,000 Ks, that's the question. And you don't need, if you're training, I mean, look, I think Strava's probably, besides the clubs, Strava's probably as guilty in causing this as anything else, and that's what people are seeing, their mates doing crazy things. I was having coffee with mates a few weeks ago and they pulled out their phones and go, oh, have you seen so-and-so is going to do 140 this week and other guys going to do 120Ks this week. You know, the one guy's probably capable and maybe a touch and go silver. So I can sort of see why there is this need to push and do extra. And he's probably targeting getting up to 160 in peak training. So, okay, maybe that one is a little bit justified. But the other guy is your solid 9.5 hour comrades guy, and he's hitting 120Ks a week in the middle of February. It's insane. And again, that's that. 68% of people who don't finish, comrades don't finish because they start with an injury. This is how you get those injuries. So it's difficult to tune that noise out, but you've got to stick with the plan that you have got, because those guys that are running those numbers are not you. They can't feel what you feel. They're not getting as tired as you are, maybe. But you've got to stick to your guns, do what you know works, do what's been tested and tried for certainly the last decade and a half very, very successfully, and try and tune it out. My advice would be, don't go on Strava. And when people start talking about kilometers at the club, maybe wander off and find someone else to talk to. But really, you've got to stick to what works for you.
Yeah, Lindsay's giving you permission to be rude at the club. If somebody talks mileage, just stick your fingers in your ear and just go blah, 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 and then you're done. That, I think, is the advice that I heard.
I think the advice that we used to get when we were studying for exams, you know, for matric finals and at university, is like, get to the venue just in time so that you don't stand around and get asked the one thing that you didn't study properly, and now you're in a panic because you didn't know one answer that somebody just happened to ask you, oh, did you study this? You know, like, go with your confidence, arrive as they open the doors, go and sit down, and you can be blissfully unaware of what the other people know that you don't know, and you can just be relaxed and pass your exam because that's what you're there for.
Absolutely. Lindsay, and then obviously this last weekend, lots of marathons. We've been speaking the last few weeks about making sure that you are getting everything right. So we spoke about nutrition and sort of testing what your nutrition strategy is. Today we spoke a little bit about your run-walk strategy. What happens if you've run a marathon? Let's say you ran Vaal yesterday or Edenvale yesterday and things didn't go according to plan. Maybe you felt nauseous, or maybe you felt like super tired and you're just like wondering, like, can I even do comrades? What advice would you give to someone where they almost feel like things are unraveling and they need to make major shifts? What advice can you give them?
So the first and most important thing, I think, is that you've got time. Okay. So now, particularly if you got nauseous or something along those lines, the good news is there's plenty of time. Okay. Now, we know we need to get energy in, we need to get it in for comrades, and we know that there's many products out there, and there's a whole bunch of products that really provide the same thing. Okay, so now, and that's sugar. So basically, we got tons of gels and bars and all sorts of things that all do the same thing. Their delivery mechanism is slightly different, their texture is different, their taste is different. So the first area we can go to is, okay, I used whatever I used, and after 2 hours, 2.5 hours, it made me feel really, really sick. Well, now we've got loads of time, got 14 weeks that we can go and try different textures, different taste profiles, and see, is that something we can see ourselves taking for longer than 2.5, 3 hours? So that's the first one. Second one is they have different delivery mechanisms, okay? So how they actually get the sugar in, and that typically then changes the sweetness and the, I don't, texture is not the right word, but whether it's a bar or whether it's a gel, whether it's a nut butter or a gel, whether it's a potato or fruit or something like very different. And so then I would encourage this really wide variety. Is it a keto product? Is it a slow release carbohydrate? Is it a product that's developed for diabetics? So there's just so many options, and you've got a lot of time. So you don't want to save it for now, the 6th of May, at your very last comrades long run, and then you're nauseous again and you're like, oh, now what? Because now it's too late to experiment. So you got 14 weeks, well, got up to the 6th of May. So let's say you've got 10 weeks that you can really try and change and tweak and practice. And if it was just like a really bad day and things didn't go your way, well, I can tell you that 14 weeks is an enormous amount of time. So you have got loads of time to actually train, get much stronger, get fitter, prepare yourself better mentally. And so I certainly wouldn't panic if you just had an off day this past weekend. Obviously, if it cost you your qualifying, that's an issue. And we're going to have to then help you plan via the many platforms we've got in our forum, at a webinar, at a roadshow, whatever, you know, ask your questions. Let's try and then guide you to qualifying. But if you haven't got the seeding that you wanted, well, that's what it is. You go chasing seeding now, you are only compromising what you could potentially run on Comrades Race Day. You're far better off preparing properly, because if you train really well between now and Comrades Race Day, you can make a 20-30 minute impact on your race day performance. But if you improve your seeding, you can only make like a 2-2.5 minute impact on your performance on race day. And chances are that your training will unravel because of that effort. So that 20 to 30 minutes that you could have improved become compromised because you can't prepare properly.
Yeah, absolutely. Lindsay, as always, been great to catch up. Lindsay did mention the different forums that you can get access. If you do need help, be sure to check out the Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. I'll pop the link in the description to this podcast and video. You can get help, access to our coaches on a daily basis to help you with your prep for Comrades. You can also check out the Comrades Roadshows that are happening around the country. You can get to one of those in person. Lindsay's traveling around. You can also check out our upcoming Comrades Marathon webinar as well. Those are, the webinar itself is quite busy, so we don't get to all the questions, but if you do need help, definitely the best place to get to is the Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap, and all the links to those are below on this video as well. Lindsay, as always, great to catch up. I look forward to doing it again next week.
Cool. Cheers, Brad.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Up. Don't forget to pick up your custom Comrades Marathon 2024 pace band right now. We'll print them out and make sure we've got them waiting for you at the expo in Durban in the build up to Comrades. So head over to coachparry.com/pace or click on the link in the description right now.